السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم في جنات يتساءلون عن المجرمين ما سلككم في سقر قالوا لم نكن من المصلين ولم نكن نطعم المسكين وكنا نخوض مع الخائضين وكنا نكذب بيوم الدين حتى أتانا اليقين صدق الله العظيم. On the day of judgment, Allah تبارك وتعالى, we know that He will punish the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the yahood, the nasara, and all those who rejected Him with the azab of Jahannam. They will be perpetually in the fire of Jahannam. And the reason for that is that they had made up their minds that even if they were blessed with a million years of life, they would have remained on rejection of deen. They would have remained on rejection of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's, of belief in Allah Ta'ala's oneness, in the Risalat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because that was their conviction, that was their belief, or that was their desire to remain on kufr all the time, so they will remain in Jahannam all the time. The believers, they had made up their minds. If anybody has to ask a believer that how many years would you like to live as a Muslim, if he is a true Muslim, somebody has to ask him, how many years would you like to live as a Muslim? He will say that even if I am given a billion years, I will still want to live as a Muslim. This is why they will be given Jannat also, permanent, perpetual. Otherwise people say that the person committed sins for a few years, kufr for a few years, then why must he remain in Jahannam forever and ever? But it is because of this belief of his, that Allah Ta'ala does not exist, or if he exists then he associates partners with Allah Ta'ala, or he rejects the Nabis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the books of Allah Ta'ala, and he would have lived in that state all his life, even if it was a billion years, so therefore he will remain there. Nevertheless, that's a different subject. But then, those who will be in Jannat, as far as the Muslims are concerned, if they make sincere tawbah from all their sins before leaving this world, then they will be given forgiveness, meaning fulfilling the rights of everybody. Sincere tawbah, the rights of people have to be fulfilled, and the huquq of Allah Ta'ala. But then they will be entered into the gardens, they will be entered into Jannat, everlasting bliss, everlasting happiness. No pain, no sorrow, there will be no kind of difficulty in there. Everything and anything that the heart desires, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will bless in Jannat. And the greatest of all the ni'mats of Jannat will be the sight on the countenance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's didar. And that is what we all aspire for, that is what we all look forward to. Allah Ta'ala must take us all into Jannat, and Allah Ta'ala must bless us with his didar. All the fasting and zakat and hajj and charities and everything that we are doing in restraining ourselves from haram and forbidden things, taking that pain on our hearts, of abstaining from those things that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has declared haram and forbidden. Although there's so much of temptation to see those things, or so much of temptation to indulge in those things. So we want to see that Allah for whom we are doing all these things. And that's the only place that we can see the Allah. Nevertheless, so these people in Jannat will now ask those people who are in hellfire. In Surah Araf there is a whole discussion of how this discussion will take place, etc. Nevertheless, they say, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. What is it that caused you to land in the fire of Jahannam? What were those actions that you were indulging in? What were those evil deeds that you were occupied in, which led you to this fire of Jahannam? Now that you are burning in the fire of Jahannam, what is it that you are doing in the world that led you to this? And we can also extend the meaning to all those who will be sinners and be in the fire of Jahannam. That what is it that led you there? So there are four things that they mentioned themselves, that besides all the many other evils that they indulged in. Kufar, shirk and all that is in its place, but besides that, that is why I say we can extend that meaning, that even the believers who will be in the fire of Jahannam, they will say that four things that led us to the fire of Jahannam, which they admit. When there are court cases, then are certain evidences which is accepted. They said, the one who is accused, he accepts that this part of it I accept. Other parts I reject or I deny. But here these people, they are accepting that this is what led us and landed us in the fire of Jahannam. First thing they said, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُسَلِّينَ. We were not of those who used to perform their prayers, who used to make the salat. So you can see that they say that we were not making our salat. That is what landed us in Jahannam. Now these days we make, or we take salat as an insignificant part of our life. Many, many discussions have taken place on the virtues of salat and the punishment of those who don't make salat. So we take all that for granted. That is mentioned in the Quran Sharif, mentioned in the Hadith Sharif. It is one of those things, that salat is also one of those things that a Muslim has to do. It's not one of those things, it's the most important thing in the Muslim's life. We must not say that because people who are making salat and still committing sins, so what is the benefit of just making salat? People who are making the salat and they're still stealing, they're committing fraud, they're committing adultery, they're abusing, they are indulging in lots of vices and sins. White Toyota 24407. And they're still indulging in sins. So two wrongs don't make a right. It doesn't mean that because they are doing that, so now we too must not make salat. That is their sin, that is their fault, that they are making salat, but the reality and the haqiqat of that salat hasn't come into their hearts as yet. Otherwise, if that spirit of salat came into their hearts, then they will not indulge in those sins. Because when you're making Allahu Akbar and you're standing before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if that can be a reminder that on the day of judgment, that is how we will have to answer, we will have to stand before Allah, we will have to give an account of our deeds and actions, then this person is not going to indulge in those sins. So it shows that the haqiqat and reality hasn't entered his heart. But then that does not give us the right to then say that what is the real need and purpose and sense of making salat. We must make salat which prevents us from all that is indecent, shameless, haram, forbidden. Our salat must be such that it must have life in it. There must be soul, there must be khushu, there must be khuzu. Like lots of people say that that man has got a beard and is still committing adultery. He's got a beard and he's still stealing. So did the beard cause the adultery? Did the beard steal? The beard didn't steal. Yes, we can say that this person is behaving like a munafiq or a hypocrite. That his zahir, his outward is something else and his inside is something else. But we won't say that now because of that everybody should shave off their beards. So we must be very careful what kind of statements we make with regards to salat also. Some people say, how long are we going to keep hitting the musalla? How long did Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam keep touching the musalla or keep putting his forehead on the ground? And how can we expect to get Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's help and assistance without salat? Allah Ta'ala himself says, Ista'inu bis-sabr was-salah. Seek Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's help with sabr, with patience and with salat. And so many times I have mentioned this, that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh saved our skin. Otherwise those who follow Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, the Hanbalis, and Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh used to follow the Hanbali fiqh. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh used to follow the Hanbali fiqh. So they say that the person who forgoes his salat, he has actually committed kufr. They say don't perform his janazah salat. Purposely, deliberately, the person who misses his salat He says, don't even perform his janaza salat. Don't bury him in a Muslim graveyard. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said, man taraka salata mutaammidan faqad kafar. The person who has missed a salat purposely, deliberately, willfully, then he has committed kufr. Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi and some others, they say that no, what it means is that it's an act like that of the kuffar and saved us. So catch them, put them in prison. But if they die, make the janaza salat, bury them in the Muslim graveyard. But you can see how serious it is. Now this, it's a whole subject with regards to salat. I'm not discussing that. But what I am saying is that we must have that importance of salat. That come what may, whether it's a walima, whether it's an engagement, whether it's a birthday party, or whether it is any kind of party, or whether it is a marriage, or whether it is some kind of conference or seminar, or whatever it may be, or whether it is our business, or whether our home life, when the time of salat comes, then with ihtimam we must make salat. And then bring that khushu and khuzu into that salat, and then see how the heart lights up, how it will distance the person from all sins. So if a bug is in somebody's blanket, then you don't throw the blanket away. You take the bug out and throw it away. You don't throw the blanket away. So if our namaz is bugged with all the outside thoughts, if our namaz is bugged with all the other filth and evil, then throw those bugs out. Don't throw the salat away. Our namazes are being bugged because we are watching so much of TV, movie, watching so much of other haram on the streets, indulging in so much of haram. And then as soon as salat time comes, we say, Allahu Akbar. So in our salat, we are bringing the pictures of those naked women. And I'm not telling you stories and fairy tales. People are writing to me, youngsters are asking me, how do we come out of this? How do we come out of that? So many, and especially this, so many have said that sometimes in our salat, pictures of filthy women, pictures of naked women, and sometimes some things worse than that come. What do we do? I said, if those thoughts are coming without your purposely bringing it in, and you are not indulging in those kind of sins, then there's nothing to worry about. Ignore it completely, don't even try to fight it, because shaitan is a rejected dog, and it has promised that he's going to keep whispering. So if you have to go to somebody's house and the dog starts barking, so now you don't start barking back at the dog. If the dog starts barking and we too bark back at the dog, what's going to happen? Then two dogs will be barking. What we do there is that we must press the bell. The owner of the house, he will come out and he will make some signal to that dog. The dog will fold its tail and move away, and we will go inside. So when shaitan starts whispering, ring the bell to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Don't start fighting those thoughts. But that is if we are not indulging in those sins. But where the person is purposely watching all the filth and all the haram, and then he comes into salat, and as soon as he makes Allahu Akbar, all those same filthy pictures come before him, and so much so that even in sajda, then who do you blame for that? So salat is like, in the deen of a person, is like the head in the human body. So let us make up our minds that in this month of Ramadan, as we are making some extra salat, and we are making our first salat, so after Ramadan, we are not going to shelve the salat until next Ramadan. Five time namaz with ihtimam. If we are going to make it, Allah Ta'ala will make the daily bread easy. The risk of the person will become easy, which we are in search of. Allah Ta'ala will make the mouth easy, the death of the person. Qabr azab will be removed. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give him his book of deeds in the right hand, enter him to Jannat without reckoning, and so many other virtues and so many other benefits even in this world of salat, but provided it is made properly. Two Muslims are making salat. One was an old Muslim and one was a new Muslim. So the old Muslim, for many, many years, born Muslim, he finished his salat very quickly. Allahu Akbar, and within seconds he was finished. And the other old Muslim, the new Muslim, he took his time. Read Surah Fatiha, Tasbihat, and everything properly, so he took his time. When he finished, then he asked this old Muslim, that how is it that you finished so quick? It took me so much of time to make, and you finished so quick. He said, no, the thing is, I'm an old Muslim, you see. I'm an old Muslim, so my salat doesn't take much time. whereas the old Muslim salat should take more time. So tum jao main aata hu salat doesn't give us those benefits. So the first thing that they admitted, that we are not performing salat, we are not of those that used to make salat, therefore we landed in Jahannam. Then the second thing that they said is that walam nakum nut'imul miskeen, we are not of those who used to feed the masakin, the poor, those who have no food, those who have no nothing to survive on. So we were not of those who used to feed them. Because of our miserliness and our selfishness, we were only concerned about own bellies and own stomach. Even if our neighbor was dying of starvation, it did not cause any kind of pain in our heart. We used to see so much of starvation and poverty, but it never used to bother us, never used to worry us, and we never used to feed those people. So that is another thing that landed us here. Then the third thing they said, وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِدِينَ, that when people used to engage in trying to destroy Islam, when they used to criticize Islam, when they used to mock and ridicule the teachings of Islam, when they used to engage in ibtal of Islam, then at that time we too used to be occupied with them. We too used to indulge in the same thing. We too used to get absorbed in the same thing. At present this is another major problem. If the newspapers, if the media, or if somebody has to just say, Islamic laws are barbaric, na'uzubillah, there is stoning in for the person that commits adultery. Now we won't go into any details, not even understanding that when will the person be punished to death by stoning. Not that just anybody committing adultery will be punished to death by stoning. There's a whole chapter on its own, and it's extremely difficult to even prove it. So now, or somebody's hand was cut off because of stealing, and some non-Muslim said that this is something terrible, cutting off of hand for a person stealing. Very barbaric, na'uzubillah. So now this Muslim is so shy and he's so apologetic that he says, yes, yes, I think, you know, they shouldn't do that, they shouldn't cut hand. It is barbaric, na'uzubillah. But he doesn't understand that, look at Makkah Sharif, Madinah Sharif and those places where Islamic laws are implemented, after 1400 years still up till today, the least amount of crime and thefts are in those places. So if one hand is cut and 1 billion people can go to sleep peacefully, is that not better than that you save the hand of that one person and 1 million, 10 million or 50 million people cannot sleep? Why? Thefts, crime. At present, what is it? Nobody feels secure. No matter how much of burglar guards and security equipment we have, but there's no security at all. So people who are engaging in criticizing Islam, or those who are indulging in making a mock and ridiculing Islamic teachings, even the sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if a person is not making amal on a sunnat, it is something else. He will not get the rewards of making amal on a sunnat. But to mock, to ridicule, and if it is a genuine, authentic, proven sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then no matter how minute, how small, but it will lead to kufr if the person makes a mockery of sunnats. So these people say that when we used to hear others indulging in these type of mockery and ridicule and criticism of Islam and deen and sharia and iman, then we too used to be with them. We used to also make jihad with them. And the last thing that they said, وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ, and we were of those people who used to reject the Yawmuddin, the day of Jaza, Qiyamah day. We used to reject it. Hatta atan al yaqeen, until death came. That was our life. Rejected. Who saw the Qiyamah and who saw Akhirat and who saw Jannat and who saw Jahannam? Why, we are blind. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the only one of sight. And the duty of the person who is blind is to give his hand into the person of sight. That person will take him along safely. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the night of Miraj was shown everything. And he has informed us. So let us not be of those kind of people, because then no shafaat will help that person on the day of Qiyam. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. May Allah Ta'ala give us a true understanding of Islam. and the understanding that if we find any kind of weakness or any kind of shortcoming or any kind of deficiency in Islam, then it is not the deficiency of Islam, it is the deficiency of our own intellect and heads. The weakness is in us because we are influenced by our environment. It is not the deficiency in Islam. I conclude on that one example which I have given many times, that it was a full moon and people were all looking at the full moon and admiring the beauty of the full moon. So one woman, she had just changed the napkin of her little baby and a little bit of that stool had remained under her fingernails, because some of them have such long fingernails that even shaitan becomes scared of those fingernails. So a little bit must have remained there. Now when you're looking at the moon, you have to look up, and they have a habit of keeping the finger near the nose when they're looking up. It's an example. So she looked up and then she said that this full moon, very bright, but there's a bit of smell in the moon today, tonight. A little bit of smell coming from the moon. So what will we say? That smell is not coming from the moon. The smell is coming from your fingernail. So if any person is seeing any kind of deficiency or getting any kind of smell, bad smell, then it's coming from his own head and from his own heart. Make tawbah, istighfar, learn more about Islam, read more about Islam, make amal on that, then you will find that the heart will open up. May Allah Ta'ala bless me, bless you and the entire ummah with the tawfiq of amal. Amal se banti hai zindagi, ye jannat bhi, jahannam bhi. یہ خاکی اپنی فطرت میں نہ نوری ہے نہ ناری ہے. اللہم انا نسألک من خیر ما سألک من نبیک و حبیبک سیدنا محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم و نعوذ بک من شر ما استعاذ من نبیک و حبیبک سیدنا محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم و انت المستعان و علیک البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة الا باللہ. اے میرے داتا اے میرے مالک اے میرے مولا اے میرے والی. اے میرے داتا اے میرے مالک اے میرے مولا اے میرے والی. شاہنشاہ دو عالم تو ہے سب سے تیری سرکار ہے عالی. شان تیری ہر آن نئی ہے گاہ جمالی گاہ جلالی. شان تیری ہر آن نئی ہے گاہ جمالی گاہ جلالی. وہ بھی عجب خوش بخت ہے جس نے قلب میں تیری یاد بسالی. شغل میرا بس اب تو الہی شام و سحر ہو اللہ اللہ. لیٹے بیٹھے چلتے پھرتے آٹھ پہر ہو اللہ 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 اللہ
Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله لا إله إلا 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 الله محمد رسول الله
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار Oh my beloved Allah, we extend our gratitude to you for having blessed us with another day of Ramadan. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to spend this day as would be most pleasing to you. Give us the tawfiq to stay away from everything that is displeasing to you and your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, let us observe the etiquettes of fasting. O my beloved Allah, let us observe the etiquettes of fasting. Ya Allah, distance us from everything that is displeasing to you and your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take us on the road that leads to you. Take us on the road that leads to Jannat. Take us on the road that leads to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Ya Allah, put the hatred of sins into our hearts. Put the love of good deeds into our hearts. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq of making salat 5 times a day with khushu and with khuzu. O my beloved Allah, bless us with khushu in our salat. With humility in our salat, with humbleness in our salat. Ya Allah, bless us with a taluq and a connection with you. Oh my beloved Allah, such a bond and such a connection with you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from you. That every moment of our lives we enjoy the sweetness of that connection. We enjoy the sweetness of that love. We enjoy the sweetness of that taluq. And that nisbat, oh my beloved Allah, put such love of yours and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our heart, that it becomes extremely easy for us to do everything that you and your beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have wanted. That we see the beauty in every teaching of the Quran and the Sunnah. Oh my beloved Allah, give us such love that we see the beauty of the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah. We see beauty in every teaching of yours and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, we have become influenced by our environment. Ya Allah, change the condition of our hearts. Let iman become solid like a rock in our hearts. Oh my beloved Allah, don't let the winds that are blowing all around of batil cause any kind of shake-up in our hearts. Create any kind of doubts in our hearts. Ay mere pyare Allah, quwwate jazb se hum sab ko apna bana le. Tu hamara ban ja aur hume apna bana le. Ya Allah, ay mere pyare Allah, ay mere pyare Allah, ay mere rahim Allah, ay mere kareem Allah. Oh my most forgiving Allah, most compassionate loving Allah. Forgive each and every one of us. Forgive our parents, brothers and sisters, wives and children, grandchildren, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems, the trials, the tribulations. That the beloved ummah of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is suffering around the globe. Ya Allah, no one else can remove it except you. Ya Allah, send your hidden forces. Ya Allah, apni ghaibi madad aur nusrat mujahideen islam ko ata farma. Ya Allah, bless us with sihat, with afiyat, with salamati. Bless us with good health, with prosperity, with contentment. Bless us with the best of this world and the best of the hereafter. Bless us with the best of this world and the best of the hereafter. So many are sick and ailing, O my Allah. Shifa and cure is in your hands. Ya Allah, bless everyone who is sick and ailing with complete shifa from all sicknesses, ailments and diseases. Whether they are in hospitals, homes or amongst us, Ya Allah, bless them with complete shifa, spiritual and physical. Clean and purify our hearts of malice, greed, pride, arrogance, envy, jealousy. Ah, my Allah, what have we made of our hearts? Bless us with the hearts that you give to the awliya-i siddiqeen. Oh my beloved Allah, bless us with barakat in our homes, in our lives, in our time, in every bounty of yours. Those who are in financial difficulties, remove the difficulties. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those whose children have gone into drinks and drugs and vices and all kinds of evils, Ya Allah, bring them back onto Sirat-i-Mustaqim. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, all his life he made duas for us. All the goodness that he asked for us, bless us with that goodness. Bless our parents with that goodness and the entire ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and protect the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. حضرت عثمان رضي الله تعالى. He climbed the minbar when he was appointed Khalifa. And then he said that you are more in need of an Imam who is fa'al and not an Imam who is qawwal. In other words, that he is, Allah Ta'ala made him fa'al. So he was giving us a lesson. And after that he remained silent. For a long while he remained silent. That's all. That was his speech on that occasion. After that he gave many speeches. But on that occasion, that's all he said. You are in need far more of an Imam who is fa'al, who is practical, who is in action, who is, and not an Imam who is just giving speeches. His humility was in that. He was trying to express his humility. And then he remained silent. But it is stated, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, if I'm not mistaken, stated that at that time, the noor that was being generated with his silence, every heart was experiencing it. Every heart was influenced. Every heart was taking effect, because that is what is the job and the duty of the Imam. I'm talking, his status was that of a Khalifa of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And from there, throughout the ages and throughout history, we find that many, many akabir of ours, in their majlises, this is what we felt. In their silence also, there was speech. In the silence, We are not of that caliber, we have absolutely nothing of that. But as Mawla Wasiullah Rahmatullah Ali, he went to Aligarh. In one of his majlises there he remained silent for a long time. Again in Bombay, in many other times too it happened. And then he said that the person who did not benefit from my silence, then he will not benefit from my speech also. That means in his silence also, there was something that he was passing on. Some speech that he was giving, which was affecting hearts without words. That was the speech without words. We haven't got hearts like that, that we can receive without words. We don't have those kind of hearts. That's why we have to give speeches. But we cannot deny that there is such kind of technology in the world, that you transfer from one instrument to the other without anything being seen in between, no words being transferred. The computer to computer, from tape recorder to tape recorder, what is happening? Information is being transferred and you don't see anything. But if you switch on the other one, you'll get a lot of new information has come in you. Isn't it? So where did it come from? Who saw some words floating in the air and then coming into the computer? So these technologies are proving that from heart to heart also there are roads. There are roads, there's pathways from heart to heart. Allah Ta'ala must give me a heart like that. So he remained silent for a long while. And then he said that I have come to see you. You must be wondering that what am I doing, remaining silent. So he said, I have come to see you, just as you have come to see me. And he said, I haven't come here to see your wealth and your properties and your buildings and how much you own. I have come here to see what akhlaq, what character and what kind of Muslims you are in this part of the India, Bombay. Because we don't have those kind of hearts, neither does the speaker have that kind of heart, nor do the listeners have that kind of heart. So if the speaker sits down on the mimbar, or on the chair, or stands up by the mic, and then remains silent for 1 hour, and says, I'm sure, brothers, you must have understood my speech. So what will they say? In fact, nobody will be left in the audience by the time he finishes. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the qulub or the hearts which He has blessed His friends with. The awliya, the arifin. That is why the arif, his 2 rakat salat is better than another person's 1,000 rakat salat. The person who is an arif of Allah Ta'ala, his 2 rakat salat is better than another person's 1,000 rakat nafil salat. His one Allah has more weight and more nur and more force than another person 1,000 times. Because he's an arif. Allah Ta'ala, he recognizes Allah Ta'ala. Because nobody can really recognize Allah Ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, La usi sana'an alayk anta kama asnayta ala nafsik. But at least the person who's got the azmat of Allah Ta'ala, muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala, tawakkul in Allah Ta'ala, then when he says Allah, it's different. When he makes salat, it's different. When he makes dua, it is different. It's not words after that. So So this is an opportunity in Ahtikaf to develop that. Allah Ta'ala must bless us all with it. But you can't take your heart out and show it to somebody. It's an experience. But there's a haqiqat, it's a haqiqat, it's a haqiqat, reality. When the waves of Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat flows in the heart. And then as Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi say, when the fragrance of Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat comes, then the vocabulary of all the languages of the world, they fail to explain that fragrance. And because we are living in a world of means, where we have wives, children, business, home, cars to drive. Now if the person is going to be in that state and is driving car, what's going to happen? So he must remain in that state all the time, as you are when you get those waves flowing. So then while he's driving car, then we know where he's going to land. And with his children now, he's sitting, at that time he's gone into that seventh heaven with his wife. Eating time is in the seventh heaven. He doesn't see the food that's in front of him. What's going to happen? So Allah Ta'ala has made it such that you can't remain in that state all the time. Little while this, little while that. That when you are with the people, when you are in jalwat, then at that time you smile, you talk, you laugh, you eat, you drink. And in khalwat it is something else. That is what tasawwuf is all about. Tasawwuf is not just reading some wazifas. Make amal on whatever we listen to, whatever Shariat says. So that is what will develop that steam. You say, where will it come from? It will come with that. Develop muhabbat for those amal. We make a lot of namaz, zikr, tilawat, ibadat, but let us be honest, that how many of us we made with niyat? Without making niyat, you will get the sawab. But how many of us really make a niyat, Ya Allah, this one tasbih that I am reading, of La ilaha illallah, I am reading it for your pleasure, raza of Allah. This salat two rakat that I am making it for your raza, for your pleasure. This charity I am giving for your pleasure. If the person is going to make a niyat like that, and it doesn't take time, you don't have to say it with your tongue, nothing. It's in the heart, just a niyat. Then slowly, slowly, because you're doing it for raza of Allah, raza of Allah, raza of Allah, pleasure of Allah, so much of that will accumulate. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is a ghayyur. Little bit a person does, and he gives so much in return. Say, my banda, you did so much for my pleasure. Although he gave the tawfiq, you did so much for my pleasure, or you have my pleasure. Tumne meri raza ke liye kiya, main tumse razi ho gaya. And if Allah Ta'ala becomes razi, ridwanullah min Allahi akbar. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with his raza. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.